Why is everyone in the Defender always so uncomfortable? Everyone talks about their Defender. They go, it's great. It's great. It goes anywhere. Yeah. Not obviously not the M40, though.
Hello. Welcome back to the Cars Rule Everything Around Me podcast, number 19. It should be 20. We missed a week last week. Very apologies. We were very busy. We can't promise it won't happen again, but we're not gone forever. Please, when you don't see us, don't assume we're gone. Don't be like a dog and go, he's gone. He's never come back.
He's done. I have to get adopted now.
My name is Edwin. To my left is Will, or to your right. And behind the camera is Benjamin.
Hello.
Lovely. Ooh. That was quite a bit. That was quite a zesty one. It was quite nice. Yeah,
it's been a week or two, so I thought I'd break out the big guns.
Change up. At the beginning of every single podcast, we ask the question, do cars rule everything around me, or do they ruin everything around me? William.
Rule.
It's rule.
Nothing to report. Everything seems to be going swimmingly.
Now, is it rule partly for the same reason that it's rule for me? There's something quite special that happened.
Forgot about that.
Clowns for
that
reason.
Forgot about that. That's a huge rule.
That's a huge rule.
Our biggest rule yet.
Absolutely,
our
by far.
Our biggest rule yet.
Would you like... No, don't give it away.
It's not review. Is it...
Let's not give it away.
Is it in the room with us?
He might be in the room with us. And it's not a Fiat 500 of Bath.
It's not. Is it an M3 GTR?
Oh, yeah. Up on the screen, before we get to a story, we've run out of PS2 games. So we've gone on to a PS3, which has YouTube on it. So if you're just listening, in the background, we have someone's YouTube gameplay of the entirety of Most Wanted 2005. So we might look up at random points throughout the podcast and just see where we're getting to, what he's buying. He's starting with a Punto. Surely he's choosing the Punto.
Don't be silly. Ben, he's going for the Cobalt?
That's tough. Ben, what are you choosing?
Don't know. I was three.
I knew it was coming. So sorry. Please, there is a reason that
as a rule, we've got a new project and it's cool.
It's the best.
We traded it back. You know, which says a lot about it. It makes some pretty rough noises, but goddamn. Now, some of you, we don't know if the people we've met listen to the podcast, but we, for some reason, on our journey back, we met approximately 3,000 subscribers. Like we were like, Rob, we need to get back. Yeah. Stay under the radar.
Don't show anyone.
No one needs to see this big, bright thing that we have on the back. And there's people going, that's TDC boys.
And they go, what's on the... Is that on the back?
That's not us.
Is that going to be...
That's not us.
Is that going to be on the drone?
We're in that lorry up there.
So, yeah, we have bought something and we are both... The 911 was cool.
Yeah.
Like, I know you weren't that into 911s, but I'm into Porsches. And even when we were building it, I was always like... It's a work car.
But this
I told you the next day, I rolled over in bed and showed my girlfriend a photo. I went, look at this. And she went, yeah. And then like 30 seconds later, I scrolled back after going forward through my photos to the same one. I went, look at that. And she went, that's the same photo.
You know what?
I'm excited.
I'm going to throw a little spanner in the works for anyone guessing right now. It's left-hand drive.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Now guess.
Now
nothing.
Now think.
I really want to say it, but we can't.
Not yet.
We could.
In a few weeks. So basically, you're not going to see it on the channel for a while because there's lots of work to do to it that is boring. So we're going to get that boring stuff done and out the way. And once we know, because otherwise you're going to see one episode on it and it disappears for 4 months or 6 months or 7 years. So we're going to get stuff sorted and then you'll see it. But be excited because we are. So what are other rule reasons?
Just general car work. I'm now eliminating the Clio from all rule thoughts.
Oh, that's... You know what?
He now doesn't count.
You know what? You're probably going to be pretty overall rule then.
Yeah, no, it's just rule forever now. Otherwise, I'd just be miserable forever.
Yeah.
The unnamed project brought me right back up. But then sometimes I think about the Clio and go, is it all worth it?
What was it is worth? It really?
But I'm close. I've ordered parts for it. I just need to do it.
To do the thing.
I need to just do it. I have a mega fuse.
A mega fuse. Did we talk about mega fuse?
Yeah.
I think.
So I've got to put that all in, and then I need to figure out lots of the other random... Everything else is small. Starting...
Perhaps the size of
a
Clio.
Is a nice starting point.
Okay.
But yeah, one day.
And otherwise, it's all good.
It's good. Range Rover's good. 350's good.
Benjamin?
Ruin.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that was actually quite... Yeah, okay.
Cool. Forget about this.
Okay.
It's quite tough
now,
to see.
I would like... Ben, I would like you to tell a story from your point of view. And then perhaps we'll tell it from us.
Okay. Well, number one, thank you to everyone who sent me part numbers in my DMs. Last time, Will refused to give me the part number that he had. So
where did you get that from?
In the end, I actually... Well, actually, here's a little fun story you don't know. I had already ordered one by the time you sent that through. So.
And was it a different part to what you ended up?
No, that's correct. It's correct. Ooh, I just found it. I went. Okay. You know what?
How do we know that? That adds a new element.
I can show you the eBay. I can show the eBay order and our WhatsApp conversation. But anyway.
Ooh, okay.
Last time I was talking about my X5 and how it is in ultra high mode, or was in ultra high mode. And anyway, finally bought a new part for it, the sensor. And then the other day we were here, we were filming something else. We didn't really have time. I thought, quick 20 minute job, I'll just change it. So I got Will to help me and it didn't work.
How much? That's an interesting way of telling that story.
It's interesting. That sounds quite calm.
Yeah, it sounds quite like nothing went wrong because it was
doom.
You have to admit, okay, fine. My attitude towards it.
Hang on.
Every single step of the way, something went wrong.
No, okay.
It didn't work.
Can I tell the story as someone on the outside? I was sitting on the computer doing a thumbnail, so I was third party to this conversation. And it was, Ben went, can you help me install it? And Will went, do it yourself. So we're off to a good start. Ben went, okay, I'll jack it up, you get it off. Will went, no. I will help you and supervise you.
Yeah, I was like, you have to learn.
I don't know what I'm doing.
So Ben jacked up. That went smoothly. The jacking up went fine.
Not really.
No, because we did it on gravel. And also, the X-Hub has nowhere to put a jack stand.
But after a fashion.
That wasn't really the hard bit. Exactly. That was fine. It was up in the air.
You got through that.
I was warned by Will, don't put it on the end of the brake disc because it may fall on you.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we secured it correctly with axle stands.
Yeah.
That's what you're meant to be saying right now.
Yeah. Sorry. Not that you just had
Not that we put a Bluetooth axle stand under an Enduro bar in case it fell.
No. Don't be so silly, Ben.
We are professionals, Ben.
We secured it.
So, and at that point, it was time to remove the old sensor. Be honest, how long did you try an attempt to remove the sensor before you said, I'm giving up, Will you do it?
20 minutes.
Sorry.
Ooh, I'm giving that. I'm going to 20 seconds.
No, I reckon
reality, I'm saying 3 to 4 minutes.
It's not coming off.
And then it was, I'm not doing it.
It's not coming off.
Yeah, I just didn't care.
It's not possible. It's not coming off.
Sorry, but your method, did we use your method in the end or did we use my method in the end?
We did use it, to be fair, yeah. I was mildly wrong.
Yeah.
But I let you get to that point.
Well, anyway, so.
You got it off at the end.
I got the sensor off. With great difficulty. Yeah. And the issue is, right, this is why I get so frustrated, is because to you two, who know how to work on cars, hang on. Let me just speak my truth for a second, and then we'll get to the bullying, okay? You have the basic knowledge of how to operate tools and how to get things off and how to do their different things, whereas I don't have that. So I was already going into it with a lack of understanding of how to actually take the thing apart and also not knowing what I'm meant to have to take apart.
A, not true. You know how to use tools more than 99% of other people.
Yeah, but it's not that good.
Secondly,
yeah.
There is no difference between yourself and us, physicality-wise, in terms of taking stuff off. The only difference is that we are used to, when things go wrong, having to just try and make something work. That's the only difference.
Okay, fair. But also, I didn't know what tool to use, didn't know what size it was.
But you never do.
Yeah, it's just difficult. Anyway, got it off. And then there's like a bracket that's attached to the self-level sensor, which you have to then reuse.
That was tough.
Wouldn't come off.
That was game over for me.
Wouldn't come off.
At that point, that wouldn't come off. And it was like, well, that's it.
Cars in the bin.
You said to me, we'll put it back on and I'm not touching it. Which is actually probably would have been the same.
And Ben.
Wait, what? We had to drill out the thing.
Yeah, but before we even got to that, there was a rounded bolt.
Yeah.
You know, which,
Happens to the best of us.
These things happen. And Ben was in absolute panic. Not even, it wasn't panic, it was he just accepted it. It just doesn't matter, I'm not doing it anymore. So I just want to put it back in. And he kept reaching for the part, going, so we'll just put it back in. Kept reaching, I'm like, Ben, let's just bring it down, it's calm.
The best part is that I said before going in, I was like, it's fine, because I bought a new part. If it isn't right or doesn't work, I can just take it back out and put the new one in. Like, it cost me £80.
Yep.
That part does not work and it's in the car. I'm never doing it again. I don't care. I'll pay a man to do it.
He's kind of worked.
Well, he's now the opposite. So he was in ultra high mode.
He was all the way up.
And now, so we put the new sensor in. Nothing changed. It was just in high mode still. We cleared the code, didn't work. Anyway, drove home, stopped at the services to get a coffee. And I went into the services, right, for a coffee in record time. Like, I've actually never been in and out of services.
Speed running the coffee.
Literally, I was in and out. So it wasn't like I left it for half an hour. I left it for maybe 2 minutes maximum. Walked back out and I was on the phone and I was like talking. And then suddenly I just went, what? And I looked at the car and it had gone from being in max lift to max low.
Hey, come on.
Sorry, no, that isn't what happened. Sorry, no, it went to normal mode. And I was like, yes, it's worked, fine. aerosol on the dash. I was like, I don't care. It's no longer high. And then I went on the next day, and now it's in mega low mode.
Oh, well.
And I don't think it's mega low.
I think, yeah, he's not slammed.
You'd be dragging your ass if it was.
But he is low.
Trust me, I've seen things. And he's not low.
But can he go any lower than that?
Yeah. If the bag deflates, yeah. Okay. Also, you'd know about it if the bag deflated.
Hey, this is not interesting to listen to.
He's just low, basically.
So,
yeah.
Therefore, it is rule because your car broke again.
No, ruin.
Sorry, he is ruined because of that.
Yeah, it's ruined, and I actually don't know what to do now to fix it. I looked loads of forums up and stuff.
Well, we did come up with a solution, which was that you sell it and lease a car.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best solution.
Ben is considering it.
I don't want to do that.
For me, there are so many rules and so many ruins. I don't know which one I am. I think today it's rule because of the Abarth. Because the Abarth behind us, the video might be out by now. It might not be. But we managed to get it running and driving and it works. And then today we just swapped over a new door onto it. It's long, but everything works. I'm excited about this car.
For the price
as well. I picked up the wheels the other day. I obviously had to go and buy wheels for it because why wouldn't I? For not even my car. But that it's going to look great. This thing's going to look good.
Once it's cleaned up as well.
It's gonna,
right now it's still looking mucky.
Yeah, it still looks mucky, but the inside... immaculate now. I've jet washed I've took the entire carpet out of it, jet washed it. It's coming along. I like it. And then also the guy, the new project, happy. And then there's a lot of ruins as well, because I started up the Merc the other day and it just plumed smoke out for a minute. Nice. And then it went, I'm fine.
Just a little morning cough.
So we'll see how that develops. So I foresee some ruins in the future.
I do. We haven't been out in the Merc that often, but when we go for lunch, every time we have been, I have seen the message on the dash.
The please top up oil. It's once a day.
Please,
once a day.
I'm thirsty.
Please, sir.
I'm tired, boss.
That is what that Merc's saying. So that is us this week. Make sure, as always, you drop in the comments your rules or ruins. We like to read through them. Do we have any news?
Can I say something quickly first?
Go on.
If you look with your eyes, if you're watching, if you listen with your ears, if you're watching, Edwin, please point at what we have in the middle of the set.
Yes. We've got our first ever run of Cream merch. Now, this is, you've got Cream. Cars rule everything around me in white, and then black cars ruin everything around me. Now, these, we're going to edit this design. So this first ever batch is very limited. I think there's maybe 100 or 200 of these in existence. After that, they might change. There might be some embroidered ones. There might be some different ones. But this was just a test run, because a lot of you were asking for it, for some Cream merch. Also, the sticker is really quite cool. Our artist Dan made this, and this is cool. It is a cassette with cars rule everything around me with Cream on it. Ben, you're already rocking one on your car, right?
On my car and my computer.
Lovely.
And also, I think there will be at some point a bundle so you can buy both of the t-shirts together. Because, you know, some days you're rule, some days you're ruined.
It's fair.
And I have a feeling you're going to be wearing the black one more often.
So you can find that on you can find that on topdeadc.com / shop.
Topdeadc.com.
That's the one. I always forget. So that's the merch plug of the week. News?
Don't know about much news.
Oh, okay.
But Gallardo.
Yeah, Ben was talking about this.
I mentioned it. I'm only just actually looking
at it. Now, also, just there's going to be some people going, it's technically Gallardo. Listen, what did Akon say it was?
Precisely.
It's a Gallardo.
And he knows. He knows.
He jumped up in it. So he
jumped up in the Lamborghini Gallardo. Also, I'm not going Gallardo every time.
No.
Also, shut up. There has been a resto mod, which feels silly. Okay. It's not that old. Was it
2004?
22 years old.
Can I see? Do you have a photo?
Do you want to see?
I'd love to see. Okay. Is he resto mod in the way that everything is decided a resto mod now, which means really big xenon looking lights with angel lights around it?
Do you know what it is? I'm going to preload you with something here.
Here we go.
They've just made a Huracan.
Oh, okay. So the body...
Front not so much.
The body...
And then side.
Do you know what that is?
That's a Huracan.
Do you know what that is? That's literally Need for Speed Most Wanted body kit. There is a Gallardo, but the rear lights are not great. That's not great at all.
So what, okay, right.
Just go buy a Huracan.
My beef. Yes. Yeah, my beef with it is it's not really a resto mod. I don't. Well, maybe
no,
it is.
That's just a modified car.
But why don't they just make a Gallardo? Gallardo. Looks as it is.
Yeah, but with updated...
But, like, make it more modern. Maybe you make the interior a bit nicer. Maybe it has CarPlay. Maybe they do The suspension is better. The tyre technology is better. The tuning is better. But it still looks like a Gallardo rather than a Midnight Club body kit.
You know what a resto modded Gallardo is? It's an underground racing Gallardo. It just has twin turbos. That's it. But is that a 5 litre?
Yes.
He's an early guy.
He's an early guy. Basically, early it's guy. A 5 litre. They take the body off of it and they put a carbon fiber body on top of it. So it's back down to basic. So it's like an entire new body. And then the engine is tweaked and it is now 10,000 RPM, I believe.
Okay, that's quite interesting.
So it would sound mental.
I would quite like to hear that.
Especially on that early Vita.
The 5 litre.
That's the one.
The late one sounds good,
but the early one sounds like 200 kilos lighter.
Wow.
Than one.
And they're prioritizing, I think, they're going to get rid of the SMG box in it as well and put like a quicker box in it.
Interesting. So you are just making a Huracan?
Yeah, pretty much. Also, I have an issue with the fact that it doesn't look like a Gallardo. The front does, but the rear...
Yeah, no, that's just Huracan.
It doesn't... Like, surely it should look like that, maybe with some different rear lights and a bit more modern looking. Also, Gallardo, one of the best aging cars in the last, like, 30 years.
I think it says they're going to leave the E-Gear.
Wow.
It says, Tedson plans to build just 70... Also, this is its name. It's the Tedson Motors Etna.
Etna? Yeah. What's she up to?
Etna.
That is a grandma's name.
That's old Sicilian mountain.
Yeah, here's, we got the old Sheila outside. Yeah, yeah, Sheila, lovely.
Yeah, that's Beth. Yeah. Yeah, not to worry. That's Doris.
Yeah.
That's Doris, yeah. The 2CV.
This is a 1,000 horsepower Shirley.
It says...
So it is still SMG?
Admirably, it says it'll prioritise converting Gallardos with the clunky I'm reading a car throttle article, by the way, with What's the clunky E-Gear semi-automatic box so it can preserve as many of the rare three-pedal cars as possible.
Okay.
Basically saying they're converting E-Gear cars for the resto mod so that original manuals
stay manual. Stay exist. That's fair.
So that means,
do you know what? Fine.
Well, there may be information further up.
Now, here's the thing. Are they American?
We're landing on the job.
Back to the article. I'm going to assume they're American, in which case there are so many shonky, bad E-Gear Gallardos that they can sacrifice, if that makes sense. Like, in the UK, they tend to be... Well, some of them tend to be a bit snotty, like ex-rental cars. But if you see an American ones around, with the hot, like, Davanti... no, not Davanti. Asante rims. We're talking Midnight Club, like, dub rims.
Croatian.
That's not helpful at all.
Croatian. I can't see anything. I think, E-Gear just sort of sticking around.
Okay, all right, fine.
Just hanging around.
Bit of news. Anything else?
Or they've got the information wrong.
Great.
Any other news?
If not, we've got lots of little anecdotes.
Yeah, nah, news is rubbish. Oh, sorry, we do have...
Oh, here we go.
Fake news.
Yeah.
Also, I was just thinking this because I've just literally said that they're converting those SMGs and that's not right. I've read that wrong.
You know what?
We just cannot trust
No one listened to me.
Ben, we need a moment where there's no defense yet.
There's no defense. I've already admitted to this, but not in public.
In the last podcast, Ben came to us with news. He said, Volvo are making square boys again.
That was my exact words.
The exact words. And I hadn't seen this yet. And I thought, wow, this is it. How have I not seen this yet? Ben, why hadn't I seen that?
So, update everyone. Volvo are not making square boys anymore.
In fact, someone in their bedroom is making square boys
on
Blender.
But that is my beef, though, is that... Did any of us say that looked fake?
So, okay. So, to be clear, if anybody hasn't connected the dots, it wasn't AI. It was Blender and Photoshop. Someone had artificially made these photos as... Nürburgring spy shots and then given them to a leaked spy shot Instagram page saying here they are.
Okay, so there was okay.
I believe because they were on.
I believe that you're better than that, Ben.
Fair. They look real though. There were loads of comments about
the second one.
Oh, actually, you can really tell that that's clearly done. No, it's not. It's not that clear.
When you look,
them driving on the. I don't know why I'm doing that. The one of them driving was it like on a street? That looked fake. Like the one, it looks a bit, because you can see the background.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what? What's really nice about that is that you said that on the podcast, because you noticed how fake it was.
I didn't get to look at that till afterwards, if I'm being honest.
This is true. That's my case.
Neither of you said to me at any point in the production of the podcast at all that it looked fake.
Sorry,
and then,
Ben.
Can anyone trust what you're saying, really?
Okay, here's what I'm going to do. Wait, you know what, Ben? Right?
Yeah.
Tell me if that photo's fake.
Okay.
I'm holding up my phone. 4.5 meters away with a photo
that small. Listen, you were sent an edit to watch. You could have watched it before it went out.
That's true. That's fair. You know what? That's fair. He's.
I watched it. I thought it was real. I was wrong. I'm very sorry, everyone. Please, no one ever listen to me.
It just means we cannot trust Ben.
Do you know what? Fair play for owning up to it, Ben.
Thanks. Thanks, guys. Please.
But if that apology is even true, I mean.
Yeah, it could be like.
Is that even real?
Actually, apology made in Blender.
If you are like us and you perhaps enjoy the finer things in life, aka buying used car parts, you will probably spend your life on Facebook or eBay. And eBay has long been the GOAT.
Mm.
He's perfect, down to the last detail, except for one thing. eBay has recently, so it's probably been about a year or two now, added in a thing where you can make your description AI generated or helped by AI.
And they get, they're like,
You should try AI. You should really try this. And I genuinely believe it is one of the worst things in this world. I'd put it above. I'd rather delete that than wars.
Yeah.
It is the most useless. Why when I click on a exhaust for a Mark IV Golf, does it go, "This contemporary exhaust has been crafted with pure perfection. It will upgrade your ride with sweet style." Wait, I just need to know that it's the correct year.
Golf exhaust 2004.
Why?
Diesel.
Why is there anything else? It is the most annoying thing in the world.
Yeah. And it's on car listings, it is unbearable.
Oh.
Sort of place where you want, I want straight facts. I want you to get to the point. I want information. And it's like the smooth but classic Volkswagen Bora. Well, be sure to get you to your destination in superb style.
You know
style.
What it is? It's bad YouTube car reviewers.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's
yeah. Well, you know, this is the best car I've ever seen.
Yeah, well, the BMW 3 Series is the suave choice, of course, for the gentleman among thee. Yeah.
I simply need to know how many miles it has. Because it's
how much is the car?
It's 11 paragraphs in. With a svelte 132,000 miles. I don't care. Just give me information. Stop doing this.
If you work at eBay, please.
Because everything else.
Because the thing is, there are unknown people who they see that and they go, yeah, that's made my description so much better.
I just don't understand. It is a perfect website other than that. Genuinely, eBay is perfect.
Yeah, maybe in the next episode we should line up. We should try and list some things.
Yeah,
and see what AI to, like some really diabolical things, and see what AI can conjure out of that description. Also, if you come across any just ridiculous AI eBay links,
please put them in. They're always so good. So that's one of mine.
You got one of yours. I've got another word I can't say. Something Audi Quattro.
Yes,
that's now, because
I saw this come in. And I have no idea what it is.
Yeah, it started out because I did it on voice control, so it didn't quite understand what I was saying. I was driving to work. This is roughly around the Slough area. Mm-hmm. I've actually driven past it many times because it's not far from where I used to live. And there was this part that goes over a bridge, and it's I'm just. Explaining a random place now.
Explaining the Slough.
There's this place with a bridge and there's lots of cars, but there are lots of cars. There's always been lots of very random cars. It's right next to a trading estate. Mm. So you can imagine it's the kind of place where they go, yeah, bung that out.
Stick
there.
Outside, yeah.
And normally it's vans and just, you know, run of the mill stuff. I'm driving along. It's just an Audi Quattro.
Oh.
Like a proper Quattro.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not like a short wheel. It's not like
but
a
yeah,
rally
yeah. He
car.
Is,
or
he is an
but it
Quattro.
Is an Audi Quattro, but it's just been like dismantled. But it's black. I cannot remember if it had wheels or not. It may have had wheels. It looked like it didn't have an engine, mainly because it had a bonnet inside the engine bay.
That's interesting.
It was like inside the engine bay and also through the windscreen. Mm. But like no glass
EV
or anything
conversion.
Like that. It was mashed. It was like a parts car, but literally on a path, essentially on the side of the road.
If we could have that, that'd be quite nice.
It's a big job.
I would love to. I would not only would I love to build a Quattro. I'd really love to build a short wheelbase Quattro.
Yeah, just chop
but
it up.
I think we're probably the least qualified humans on earth to shorten a car.
No,
you know, if there's someone's got blue tack, maybe might be able to make something happen. Yeah,
we bolt it together.
We're but welded with a bolt.
Welded bolts.
Yeah, put bolts through and weld them.
I'd solder it.
It's just a tin car.
I remember, like when I first learned about soldering, I was like, so I can just.
So like, just weld it
like metal together. Not quite how
engineers. Whoa!
He knows too much.
Also, to note quickly, he did go for the cobalt. It's a very good choice. Will is it? Well, good call. He knew he was going to go for it. You just knew it was going to happen.
Just knew it was going to. Is that ice two?
Ice 300.
Ice 300. Yeah, don't get those there. What else we got? We've got Tesla moon dream?
Oh, this is good. It's just something small. Maybe this might actually happen. Last week, I got quite sick towards the end of the week. Ben, you were also very ill.
Yeah, we were.
And so I decided, you know when you get ill, you go, you know, I'm just going to sleep it off. Mm. I'm just going to get in bed. Got into bed at 4 p.m. I left early from here. It's not the first time I've ever done that. I was like, I just need to go to bed. Went and got in bed, and I had multiple fever dreams, one of which was that... It was an advert. I was watching TV or something, and it was a Tesla advert, and they had just flown a car, a Tesla, to the moon and then driven around it on autopilot.
Oh, okay.
Why haven't they done that yet? Surely...
It's quite a way.
But what I'm saying is surely Elon Musk has pitched that 100 times.
Oh, probably, yeah.
If I'm thinking of it in a dream, that guy's sitting there going, I got to get a car to the moon. How do I... Because that's the best advertisement of all time.
They have a car on the moon, yeah. The first car on the moon.
And it just drives... isn't like Because autopilot... Rover. They could just drive, like, imagine it's got some cameras. Stay? Yeah, because Moon Rover does, right?
Yeah,
but he's quite if it's fair. Real, that is.
Yeah, it's fair.
Carspiracies.
Probably just the.
Is Elon Musk's Moon Tesla real? Because he's already got a Tesla Roadster up there.
Yeah.
Does
he know where it is?
Stop by. Well, who knows? Some aliens out there.
Yeah, well, you just want to go down it right at the Tesla Roadster when you see that, and then you just.
Some alien
238,000 miles later, you should be at the moon.
Someone's whipping that hoe up there. Someone is doing skids in that Tesla.
Would it be attached to a rocket, or are you saying like just sole car?
I'm saying no. Yeah, so they'd rocket it up in some form of rocket capsule, and then it would arrive on the moon. And instead of man on the moon, it would open the car, would drive out,
and then the Tesla would say something quite witty.
It would say one small charge for mankind. I'm broken.
I'm out of range.
Tires adjust the spin for the Cybertruck.
Well, it's a Tesla, so it'd be
so yeah. That's just a random fever dream I had, and I thought, if this happens now, I want my royalties, Elon.
Elon, mate,
give me the royalties. Also, maybe a car on the moon. Just as a broad idea.
I'll say him. He's found out about this. They know. How do they know about this plan? Him about ready to, like, a villain about to shoot a Tesla to the moon. Poor astronaut inside. The next one is, we talked about this a few days ago, Defender owners.
Ooh.
So, in particular, this is something I've noticed on motorways. You were talking about this about just Defender owners in general.
Yeah.
But is that if you see some, and this, I'm talking about old Defenders, not new Defenders. Yeah, yeah, new Defenders are a different type.
Original Defender.
Yeah. Original Defenders, where they're all like, oh, my car's is a 147 centimetres long, and it's got a pickup, and mine actually used to serve in the war, and mine was the king's, and there's always something about
that. Yeah, anyway. There is a reason why your Defender is the most special Defender.
It's the only one that was made, and I rebuilt it 8 times. But why is everyone in a Defender always so uncomfortable? Everyone talks about their Defender. They go, it's great. It's great. It goes anywhere. Yeah. Not obviously not the M40, though. They're in there. Some man in a hat or something in someone green. His windows... His windows are steamed up.
Yeah.
Inevitably, his windows are steamed up. Or, if it's very hot, his windows are down.
Yeah.
And he's just getting...
And he's got his front vents open.
Just getting wind in his face, and his partner or whoever is in the passenger seat. Very, very miserable. Or sheep or dog. But it's never sheep, though, is it?
No, it's
never sheep.
No.
Because no one's taking sheep up the motorway in a Defender.
All right, they jump in. We'll just head down London for a day.
Beaconsfield services. We'll get chopsticks. But they're always, the steering wheel's here and it's massive. So it's like they can barely hold the steering wheel. I bet they can't turn it.
No.
In an emergency, they can't, they're dead.
So the reason that we came up with this, and B, this is a great game that we now play. When we're on the motorway, is look at the Defender owner, see how unhappy they are. Because they are. But the reason this came up is that one of my very good friends, it runs a Land Rover restoration company, and he's got multiple Defenders, and I've driven them a few times. I'll keep it completely real with you, I hate them. I can't get the joke. I usually can understand the character. Also, sorry, Will, if you're watching. I can usually understand the character in a car and be like, I can see, you know, the beat. The Beat's not a good car. Mm. It's not useful in any way, shape, or form, but it's somehow endearing enough that it's, you know... But I just don't get it. They're the only things that redeem them is that people say redeems them is that they're bad.
Yeah,
that's just how they are.
Mine's got that diesel engine. It's got 8 horsepower.
I went
and it chugs down the road.
We got a voice note from Will the other day. I couldn't hear what he was saying
not
because it was just good. And then the other day I went to go and see him, and he got this. There was a new one that he was restoring, and he went, "Oh, this one's quite good because it doesn't have a bulkhead. It's got rear seats. You can actually slide your seat to where you should be, so you can sit normally." That's not a pro. It shouldn't be that 80% of them don't fit a human, and one of them's, "Oh, well, if you option this one, you might sit normally."
Yeah.
But it is genuinely funny. Have a look at the Defender driver decks. Also, if you drive a Defender, you know you're not comfortable. No,
you're miserable as sin, I'd say 95% of the time.
Yeah.
Also, because there's a possibility of a breakdown.
Oh, 100%.
Yes, you might be able to fix it at the side of the road with a rag and a spanner or whatever, but it doesn't matter. Your car's still broken down. But there's always this weird vibe about it. It's like, yeah, but it's fine. You know what? It's good off-road, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go there.
Okay. We'll try that off the next exit and see what happens.
Yeah, if you just come off the M40 exit 4, there's just an off-road course. Yeah,
you know, between exit 4 and 5? Yeah, yeah. So it's just like a bit green. You just want to take the jump off there. You should be all right.
Like Forza Horizon.
Genuinely, have a look at the next Defender owner you see on the motorway. They will look miserable.
Yeah.
And then they'll post on Instagram going,
"Oh my God, you just went out with Scrongle this weekend and loved it."
Yeah, it's just singing around town. Yeah, yeah. And he had to do 5 25-point turns.
This week, Defender owners. Next week, we'll come up with someone else to hate on.
You know, I like the way they look.
Yeah, they're cool.
I think they look cool. Some of them, anyway. I like the way they look, and I appreciate that they can be very good off-road.
Mm.
Like, they're kind of a go-to thing for that, and farmers and what such. Past that,
yeah, that's
where we at.
Also, just buy an old Range Rover.
Yeah.
If you want sadness and you want to have to deal with fixing something every day, you might as well have something that is nice.
So it's like, it's really good off-road. What, should I just daily a motocross bike? Or a quad bike?
Yeah, this is my Paris Dakar truck. It's just, you know, nice 1 mile a gallon. It's my new daily.
There you go, Defender owners. If you have a defense, defend yourself. You don't.
If you defend it yourself.
You will have an Instagram page that goes, "Nyup." Nyup. Right, next up, we've got...
Who's next on the hit list?
Cash Kai, Alhambra vibes.
Okay, well, this is a spot... I think we might have touched on it before, but years and years and years ago, and this was in your E46 M3.
It was, yeah.
I think we were on the back roads near where my parents live, which there's really nice back roads, and I think we were going out to take photos of your car or something, and there was a Seat Alhambra. And now... talking of Paris Dakar,
yeah,
or you know what it was? He was on an Irish rally stage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This was, he had a co-pilot. He was flat out.
Yeah.
Colin McRae was behind the wheel of that Seat Alhambra.
Also, I came up behind it and you're thinking, right, Seat Alhambra, he's just going to hold me up. Like, I'm looking for a place to overtake. I couldn't.
No. He was.
Yeah.
And the tuck and lean through corners, I can still see it in my head
the
today.
The momentum it carried all corners was insane.
And we were saying at the time, it's someone local to the area. Yeah. They have been driving that road. And what it is, it's not someone going, "Wee, I'm going to go for it." That's just a local person.
No, he's just getting from A to B.
He's going from A to B. They just know the roads like the back of the hand. They go, "Oh, I'm doing 110 through that corner." Easy. And I was reminded of it because I was dropping the wheels off for this Abarth the other day. I was in the Merc, so I have a good amount of power.
Yeah.
And there was a Nissan Qashqai that was absolutely flying. And I was like, it wasn't as smooth as the Alhambra. The Alhambra had, you know, full-time rally driver behind the wheel. I trusted with my life. This guy was a little bit more erratic, but still absolutely going for it. Okay. So I was hanging back a bit more, but I was like, I need to see this. This is incredible. And we came out, and it was quite greasy that day. We came up to a corner, and he lift off oversteered into like just a normal, just a bend in on a country road.
Yeah.
I saw the back end step out of a Nissan Qashqai, and expected full brakes hazards.
Just, you see through the window, you just, just adding a bit of offense. Just
with a full rally helmet on. Mika Hakkinen just absolutely sent it. No brake lights, no nothing. Just powered on through.
Fair.
No slower into the next corner, absolutely sending it. And it was on the local roads around here, which can be sketchy.
Yeah.
But I was in awe. It was like I was at a rally. I was in third person.
Yeah. We need a Grand Prix for these people. I don't know how you find them, because for one, you have to catch
them. You can't catch them.
You need to catch them.
I when I say this, he lost me. Yeah. Like, and it wasn't from lack of trying. He just left me.
Yeah, we need the unsung hero Grand Prix, where it's just a couple of people, or like a grid of like 10 or so. Alhambra, we got the Alhambra in here.
Oh, Alhambra safety car.
Been looking good in practice. Never touches the brakes, this guy, because he doesn't have any. You've got the Cash Kai, and you just have all of these people.
It'll be so good. Yeah. But there's in every town, there is someone that you see driving a completely bog standard, normal car, but just sending it.
He just knows the town.
Yeah.
He knows the roads.
Yeah, you do 50 through that red light. Don't worry about it. I have a question for you. Okay. And if you'd like to, perhaps, if you want to read the question, and also perhaps look at the time at which I...
Is this further up? So, okay, we've got a message that's come through at 10:40 at night.
Yeah, so I'm on the way home. It was a late night.
Do you run lights late at night?
Now, this is hypothetical.
Why would you ask that
this
question?
Is completely hypothetical, but I want to know, and mainly from people watching, because it's a bigger consensus, but you paint the scene. You turn up to a set of temporary traffic lights.
Yeah, temporary.
It's now, I mean, call it 10 o'clock.
10:40, let's say.
10:40 on Wednesday. Now it's dead. It's the middle of nowhere. Like, this is not in town. No one's there. It's a two-way, so you can see ahead. Mm. You can see both sides.
Not around a corner or anything like
that. Not around a corner, no, nothing, but it is a red light. Are you running that light?
Absolutely, yes.
Ben?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, Ben said that with a smirk. Ben's waiting. Running.
So, me too. I would hypothetically...
You're not waiting.
Obviously I'm waiting legally, but hypothetically, if I can see the other side of it, I'm going through.
You're going.
Right. Because also, it's like a width restriction at that point.
Exactly.
It's not dangerous.
Okay, so now here's my question. Okay, now it's a three-way control. So you can see that there's no one at the control, at the junction, but there could be someone coming down the street. You can't see there's no one coming down the street.
Is it dark?
Yeah.
Now, darkness, I believe, provides you with some more foresight.
Yeah.
You can see where lights come.
Agreed.
From. Now, there may be someone without lights, in which case... Then is it
why are they driving without lights?
Yeah, why are you driving without lights through that green light for?
T-bone someone going through a green light. Well, what are your lights on?
The red light was green, but it was dark, so I went. Yeah, I might run the gauntlet. Depends on the scenario.
Right. Okay, but now same scenario as the first one. Ignore the third. It's just a red light, right? You're at a junction. But it's just a normal red light at a junction. Are you doing it? I'm not.
No.
See, that's funny. Isn't it funny that there's this weird, because it's a real light, one's a fake light. He's not.
Police don't cover those ones.
No, exactly. Yeah. But you know he's not like a red light camera.
Yeah.
But you're middle of the night, red light, no one else is there. Are you running it?
Hypothetically. I'm fairly sure I have gone through a red light. But again, I would have, there's people going to be, you can't do that. You can. Sometimes.
Yeah. I've only T-boned four people.
Sometimes a red light, it's not set up right. It's not built right. I don't know how they work, but sometimes I'm like, why am I waiting like 4 minutes at a light?
Yeah, yeah, fair. Like, but it's an interesting concept, yeah. That a temporary traffic light, because if any of you are upset by the idea that you would run a temporary traffic light, L for you, that's fine.
If you can see the other side and you're not going, you're full.
Yeah. But for some reason, socially, you see a normal red light and you're like, no.
Nah, nah.
I couldn't do that. Nah.
I would believe that a police car would be... They'd be I would just... Because you'd be sat there at the red light and you would be going, oh, you know what?
Should I or shouldn't should I? Should I?
And then you would do it and then a police car would appear.
Absolutely, yeah. But for some reason, the temporary one...
Never appears. I'd be all right.
They don't care.
You'd probably go through it as well.
But how often isn't... Because a temporary light generally is because they're width restricting the road because they're working on one side of the road, right? But how often is a normal light... making it like a one way, like how often are you coming up to a light where it's your head on with someone that's just blocking off one side? Not very often. Usually it'll be like a crossroads or roundabout or whatever. You can't really run it in the same way.
I have experienced this just come to my brain. Near where I am currently living, there is literally 60 seconds from my journey starting,
30 seconds
30 seconds there is a T junction.
Here you go.
And it gets... there was a red light there. So there was obviously... There are three sets of lights, yeah. three sets of lights. And I'm at the T.
Sure.
I'm in the T. I'm in the leg of the T.
Yeah, you're the boss.
But there is always traffic.
Yeah.
Now, recently, all those lights died.
Hmm.
And the absolute free-flowing beauty.
Oh,
isn't
it funny?
Now, it was more dangerous.
Yeah.
100%. It was more dangerous.
I did T-bone four people.
There were bodies everywhere. No, but there wasn't a... This was for about, like, I want to say 4 or 5 days, maybe. It was like this. And never traffic.
No.
Everything just moved smoothly.
You take your turn.
Because people would just wait. They would go past where the light is, wait, and wait for the road to be clear. And when the road was clear, they would continue. Now, someone will go and ruin that by T-boning a family of five, and then we all have to sit at a red light. But while it didn't work...
For those glorious moments.
It was so nice. And you could speed through it.
You could 100 through that red light.
But yeah,
I was let us know in the comments, because I just had that thought, hypothetically.
I think we should just turn all the lights off.
Oh, and see what happens.
See what happens.
Do you know what? It's like an allegory for life. The strong will make it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because it's like when you're at a roundabout waiting to enter, and there's someone who's just, clearly they're just like, oh, I just don't know where, I don't know if I can go. Whereas other people are just like, oh, I'm going, you'll deal with it.
Have you ever?
Here we go.
One, a slingshot.
Yep.
You've done that.
Okay. Yep.
Next. Right, let's say.
Can you explain a slingshot for those?
A slingshot is if you, let's say the left lane is, so you're in the left, there are two lanes on this roundabout.
Yep.
The left lane is going left, but there's a load of traffic in that left lane.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to sit in that because it's going to wait for 5 minutes, but the right lane is clear. So in the right lane, you can go all the way around the roundabout, because then the people that are in the queue,
they're obliged to let you in.
They must let you pass.
Now, I wouldn't do it often.
I would.
Oh, here we go, Ben.
How often? But even if there's no traffic?
Like, you just constantly. You're just doing it lots.
If there's a queue, I'm doing that.
Oh, really?
Why am I waiting? I don't care.
Wow, do you think your time's more important than theirs?
If you've had that thought, then you deserve to be able to use that thought. It's not legal.
If I'm looking at a queue, it depends where I'm going as well.
That's the thing. I think I've done it twice, and it's when I've been late, and I'm quite happy to sit in traffic. I'm not happy to sit in traffic.
If
I've made my timings right and I sit in a bit of traffic, fair dues.
Yeah.
But if I'm like late for some other reason, I'm doing whatever I need to do to get there. And because I don't like being late.
Do you know what else I am? You know when you get to mini roundabout and then like there's all three... All three corners, everyone stops and go, I'm going.
I thought about this the other day. I don't know that there's ever been a time that I haven't just gone. Hey, if we hit, we hit.
Yeah, yeah. Most people, they're not just going to hit you, are they?
No.
But they're all sat there.
They might.
But I am.
They're all sat there dilly-dallying going, oh, who's right away, is it? You know what? The first person to go, it's me.
First use of the word dilly-dallying in the podcast. Quite like that.
What about you coming up to a roundabout? It's two lanes. The left lane goes straight.
Yeah.
The right lane doesn't go straight.
Oh.
But the person at the front is hanging around.
Yeah.
Are you utilising that free right lane?
Now I am,
to make the jump.
Now that, I will agree, is shitty. Because
it's wrong.
It is absolutely wrong.
It's wrong.
But I will do it.
Wait, what is it?
So, you have a roundabout.
Congratulations.
Oh, thanks, guys. Yeah.
You've been awarded a roundabout.
Cost the council £4 million.
You are approaching a roundabout and there is a queue in the left lane. The left lane goes straight, let's say, this time. The right lane only goes right.
Oh, well, right lane, the, oh I've right made lane, a mistake.
The right lane. Okay,
yeah. Oh, no.
I was going to go right, but then you could slingshot.
Yeah.
Or, because what I'm saying is the person at the front is dilly-dallying.
For sure.
Used to. Is dilly-dallying, and everyone behind it is going, well, I'll just wait here then, would I?
Make it a bit more homely for you, Ben.
Is it me in the front?
The person at the front, for all they know, they could have passed away, and people would still sit behind them.
Yeah.
Or are you going to, I'm not going to say race, are you going to drive up that free right lane and take your path?
I'm not doing that.
That's whack.
Unless I'm real late and I am doing that.
What I'm doing, I'm hitting them with the, oh, this is this lane?
I'm hitting with the racing line across the roundabout. Maybe click the curb on the way through.
Two wheels.
Straight over.
Is it I'm out the window time? Where you go?
It's a hazard straight away. Sorry.
If only I could have seen that.
Please forgive me.
If only I could have seen that you'd sit at the roundabout for 5 minutes.
To be honest.
I'm doing that.
But this is great.
That's the worst one, and you both admitted to it.
The police are watching this going, yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Add that one to the list.
Another one. Okay. Oh, is that a red light?
Hypothetically.
You know, I did it. I don't know where.
Yeah, I did it.
You might still be able to get me. I did it
in South Africa when I was 11.
The Cream Podcast is...
South African police?
Nah, don't worry about it.
No, I wouldn't care.
The Cream Podcast is merely a thought experiment, guys.
Yeah,
this is where we can be safe and we can talk about...
The Cream Podcast is a safe space.
And there will be angry people. There have been angry people.
Hang on. No, wait. We don't condone it.
No.
So I don't not condone it though.
No, we don't, because we're not condemning it. We're not promoting
that's
it.
The one.
I don't condemn it.
I'm not condemning or condoning.
If I discuss a crime on a podcast, I didn't commit the crime. Ooh. Just discuss
whoever smelt it dealt it, really.
So it's the viewer's fault.
If you've thought about it, it's wrong.
Yeah. 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 If you even let that thought into your mind, you're as bad as us.
It means you might do it.
Also, us trying to justify, no, no, you're as bad as us.
Yeah, so in this podcast, running red lights, possibly speeding, using the wrong lane around
and people up. And Need for Speed myself.
You know what? Games don't have a bad influence on the way people drive.
Okay. Okay. So that's that.
That's Ben, that, I believe, forum.
Ben, do you have a question for us?
Got a couple, because we missed it last week. And yes. I felt bad, and we had comments saying they missed it, so we have two.
Perfect. So in every podcast, we like to do a section called The Forum. It is a nod to the car forums of the 2000s, where we probably learnt most of the stuff we know about, and car people can be, you know, what do you call it, know-it-all bunch. So this is your chance to ask us a question that we will ask, we will answer, sorry, with no judgment. Benjamin, lace us up.
Right. Right, so I can't remember the actual question. I lost it somewhere. So what we're going to do is basically someone had asked, is it important to actually torque your bolts to spec on a car? Because you know that every single bolt has a torque spec, and you guys work on cars a lot.
That's a good question. I think if I'm working on a McLaren F1, I'm torquing everything. That guy's getting straight torqued. If it's my car,
I need a list of numbers on that car.
Yeah,
give me numbers.
If I'm doing, I'm talking the tire valve caps. Everything's getting torqued.
The key in the door. But the guy does that on like just random house.
Everything, yeah. But if it's my car, anything that's like integral to the engine, head bolts, obviously. Mm. I might do a tensioner because I don't want to strip the thread out the block or head. Stuff like that works. And wheels. I will do wheels.
Never did wheels. I always thought wheels was like, I'll just do it up. I used to do it up with a ratchet.
No, yeah, I'm going big. If I'm doing it without a torque wrench on a wheel, I'm going big style into it.
Breaker bar.
I'm talking that guy.
Yeah. Wheels, I would advise. I never did torque wheel nuts or bolts, whatever, until my wheel fell off. After that, I was like, you know what?
That might teach you something.
I think. But to be fair, part of that was because when you put spacers on,
you're
always told is to check your wheel bolts like 100 miles, 200 miles later. Because I don't know what the science is there.
But
why is it I put a little bit of metal in and my bolts go, I think I'll leave.
Like halfway through, I don't like these.
Is this just a wheel? I'll stay. But if you put 25 mil of space or 10, whatever it is, I think I'm going to back out.
I'm going to head out.
Which is exactly what happened. I had every single bolt backed out. And then my wheel came off.
Yeah, that's tough.
With my girlfriend in the car. She reminds me of that regularly.
Oh, that's tough. That's a tough one.
But yeah, wheel bolts, that's a good place to start.
Yeah, very good.
With talking wheels.
Also, just a good habit to get into, just talking things. Get a big one at first that just does your wheel bolts, does your crank hub. Do that. Yeah, it's very hard and very annoying. CV hubs, I will do to what's called, what do you call them? End bolts.
You know what
your CV.
I thought of? So I've just done that engine thing on the Clio, right? Mm. And then I was like, cool, I had a list of like torque values for an engine. I was like, I need to go by this. And then you get ones that go, right, torque it to that. And then 360 degrees.
I hate it. I absolutely hate it.
Now, I had to buy that stupid little gauge thing, which didn't really work. Yeah. It was very tough to sit, tough to use. So that basically means you torque it up to, let's say it's 180 Newton meters, you get the click, and then you need to go 360 degrees or whatever it is,
around
it again, which often on that is tough.
Yeah,
because it's
also tightened. Why is it never 360 or like 180? Kind of, but I think I've done one that's like now do a turn of 130 degrees. Why make it something that I know it's either if I'm at the bottom I need to go to the top or I need to go fully around.
I was gonna say, because otherwise, like, could you not just mark the bolt?
Yeah,
and then you'd know exactly where 180 is.
Yeah, you could do that.
But how do you know where 130 is?
Exactly.
I'll get the protractor.
The
out.
Protractor's not coming out. I'm when I'm there with the,
whatever that thing is.
The compass. That's the one.
Drawing a circle.
Now draw a circle around the bolt.
It's that shading the middle. Torque things, but also torque wrenches can be expensive.
They can be. Like
basic ones, quite cheap, but they may die.
Yeah,
some of you may die.
But that is a sacrifice.
But they do get, you'll realise, you get, oh, torque wrench, £20. And then you get the really expensive ones. It goes, ah, cool, this one's £3,000.
Yeah, don't go for either of those.
But don't get too scared by that. Just buy a good one. Halfords.
To be honest, as much shit as we talk, Halfords. Pretty good, what's called products?
Tools.
Halfords
tools. And we have a Worth one? That Worth one's
A
really
Worth
good.
One's good. Yeah. And we have an AC Delco smaller one that was off Amazon. I think that was £40 for a 3/8.
Now, I bought a small, what is that, 3/8?
A quarter.
Quarter inch.
Yeah. Yeah, the small
Core one. Core very small one. I wanted a small
one. What's the brand?
I don't remember.
No?
I actually can't remember.
Where was he from?
He was from Amazon.
Okay.
He was from Amazon. And when he turned up, I saw the name on the box. I thought, I don't really trust that.
Yeah.
But he's only for very small ones.
Also, yeah, here's what's called a claim. I don't think it matters if it's on a quarter inch. If it's quarter inch,
fair.
I just do them tight.
Yeah.
Hand tight. Well, not hand tight. All my engine bolts, hand tight. No. No. As in, hand tight plus a cinch. Just
snap it off.
Just look, yeah, and then once you look at the bolt head, you go, there it is. Yeah.
Can I see the thread? Yes.
Okay, so I'm happy with that. What's our second one?
So we have a second forum question, which I would imagine is probably more for you, Edwin. This was a man called Ben Molke. I'm sorry if I've messed up now pronunciation.
That's you.
That's not my last name.
Oh.
Who DM'd me on Instagram and said, forum question for you. Currently trying to buy 90s JDM wheels for my LS400. Where should I look to buy wheels, and do you have any wheel suggestions?
An LS400. Go Kranzies. Go, like, you know, VIP spec for LS400.
Is if that
you
chrome type beat?
Chrome beats, you know, the kind of twist guys. Where do you find wheels? eBay. eBay, Facebook. eBay and Facebook will be your best bet for finding used ones. It depends. If you want to pay scene tax, i.e. someone who's already found them, you will find people that are kind of selling lots of sets of wheels, like what I used to do, at a good amount of markup. If you're lucky, you can find what I like to do, I did when I used to buy and sell lots of wheels, is find the fitment that you like, the wheel kind of whatever it is, if it's a 5x1, 14.3, join cars that have that fitment and size that you tend to like. Like I joined a load of Evo groups back in the day to buy wheels from, and then you'll just find people going, I'm breaking this car, here's some cool wheels.
Yeah.
So things that I think an LS400 will be 5x1, 14.3. So, but you want a little bit bigger. You want like 17s or 18s, I'm going to assume. Hmm. So yeah, doing that. But yeah, don't pay scene tax. There used to be a really cool website, it might still exist, called Wheel Whores.
There's one called, I was looking on it, Rims.
Well, yeah, that's what we call
it. It tells you, it literally lists car, and you can put in the PCD.
Oh, and what it looks like?
ET, everything. And it gives you examples of
each
one on different wheels.
That is, crazy. So that is a
Rims.
Oh, why is that? Why have I forgotten that?
Rims.
It's a, that is a very famous site. I've been using that site.
It's mainly Rimtuck.
Yes, okay.
Rimtuck.
So that, there's that, and then there's also some American ones that are, I forget what their name, they sell wheels, and there's a gallery that you can go through and look. Those are mega helpful, because you can work out what wheels fit under your arches and what people have run. That, look, you got to stand on the shoulders of giants. Work out what someone else has run, improve it.
It's always good if you know what, like, size, what your bolt pattern is, what the size is, what that, then search from there.
Yeah.
Rather than going, I have Nissan 350Z, I want Nissan something. 350Z wheels.
Yeah.
Then you're limiting yourself, because there will be a, I did that years ago and I had an Alfa. I was like, I have an Alfa Romeo. What space? I need to buy Alfa Romeo spaces.
Yeah.
If
no.
you find the fitment and then you go on eBay, and you realise, this is also the same as a Vauxhall. This is also
the
same
you
as
can
this.
Find,
that means all sorts of different things fit. So do a learn.
Yeah, also, just have a look around the internet. You can use, I use Instagram a lot of the time for inspiration. Just put in your car model and just look at modified ones. And then once you've found some wheels, you're going to have to do some more research to then find out what the name of that wheel is.
Mm.
See if you can find other examples. You'll probably find a forum thread of someone going, yeah, these are 17x8.5 ET35. Look at their photos, go, I could fit that. I could run that. Make your decision from there. So yeah, surf the internet. There's no kind of right answer. You have to wait for the right set to come up. I used to hoard wheels because I never knew when, you know, another cool set would come up. But that's because I'm broken and I can't stop it. Right, we're not going to end with a Carspiracy like we have for the last few, even though we do still love that. Don't worry, that's not going anywhere. We haven't had an argument for a while. And there was, the other day, the basis of an argument to start on. Ben, I think you...
In the car on the way to lunch, we were talking about car sizes.
Yes.
And a car can be too big. Let me preface with that.
Here we go. And we'll... Because I understand you already had a... I heard Ben say, save it for the podcast.
Yeah.
So that means you have a...
Ben's saying that there is a perfect size of car, which it baffles me, because there are so many uses for it.
Yeah,
it's BMW 3 Series, Mercedes C-Class. That shape and size, he's perfect.
Okay, but cool. You need to move a wardrobe.
But also...
Sorry? Okay, how often are you moving a wardrobe?
I don't know, when people move into houses.
Okay, and you hire a mover man or a van.
Hold. A wardrobe.
Did you move your entire house when you moved recently in your Range Rover?
I did a lot of it.
Did you do a wardrobe?
I did a wardrobe, yeah.
In your in small, I want photos.
Small one.
What? It's now, a chest of drawers.
Now hold your horsem, yeah. Because you made a statement there. It's the perfect size is a BMW 3 Series or a C-Class.
That's the size.
When?
For just
no.
Daily
when
use.
Did I ask? No. No. A 3-Class of what generation? Because a 3 Series. Did I say 3-Class? Wow, crazy. That's both of them. A 3 Series.
Oh, roughly that size.
No, no. But of what? Because if you take an E30 versus okay. A brand new one.
Some sort of modern car that is roughly 3 Series size. A sort of medium-sized saloon car. Perhaps a medium-sized wagon.
Mondeo-esque.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. He's best size.
What I'm thinking you have in your head is somewhere around E46, E90, that Mondeo gen.
Yeah, maybe an S-class gen.
Okay, that's newer.
That's bigger.
Yeah, but it's not that much bigger.
Still, it is. If you put my 46 next to one, that is a much bigger. That is like an E39 next to an E46.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like Range Rover, your Range Rover.
What sort of size
is
too
big.
Here?
It's too big.
That's
too
a crazy
big,
statement.
Too big for what? Why is it too big?
It's just
it fits
a car that
it
you
fits
have to
anywhere.
You have to lumber it about a little bit. You got to think about how you're placing it a bit more. Parking it's a bit more difficult.
You know what? This is since he crashed.
No, it's not.
You really got to think about it. It's not
ben,
hard.
Ben crashed it, looked to the beat, and went. It would have all been easier.
I went home in the micro car.
But what do you right? So now I can understand this.
You can't.
In this country, if you own a Hummer H1,
yeah,
if you own
a cyber truck.
Some kind of ridiculous car that isn't built for these streets, that doesn't go through width restrictions, yeah. Doesn't fit in like car parks, that or you're one of those, was it, G-Wagon 4x4 squared.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you ain't getting that in a car park.
No, there's no point. Not. There's no point in that.
Like that, I can get it, because then that's a hassle. You've
it's
essentially got supercar inconvenience.
Yeah.
But not in Range Rover.
It's too big.
Are you a child?
But why? Why is it too big? What is too big about it?
I don't like any car that if I'm driving, I have to think about how I'm manoeuvring it.
But you don't. The moment you've driven, but you have an X5, which is 80% of the way there.
It's too big.
But that's interesting.
I really, really like it as a car, but it is, frankly, if it comes down to it, it's too big.
But are you not gaining confidence in that vehicle?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I'm more confident driver because of it. But like, I drove a Range Rover and it's fine. But it's still, I'm thinking. I don't want to think.
That's interesting. But I think that's just time. You'll get used to it. You get to
use
it.
I think it's experience.
Yeah.
I remember my dad had a very big
crash.
We had a Volvo XC90, one of the older ones. And I remember him driving that around. And it wasn't like he struggled to drive it or anything like that. It was just, I remember sitting there as like a child and thinking, I feel like this just feels big to drive around, like to get through UK roads and stuff. Why are you laughing?
But also,
why is that funny? I remember thinking that also, at like a young age.
With the raindrops big.
Dad,
too.
Mate, this is a bit big.
Dad, have you thought of a 3 Series?
Come on, mate, get something you can.
Nah, because he was driving it fine. It was just the fact that I remember thinking, like, this man is having to think about.
But here's my question for you. You have 3 siblings, correct?
3 brothers, yeah.
Right. So you think, from your dad's perspective, he's like, right, I need to fit 3 kids, a wife, and probably a boot full of children's equipment and bags and what such. If he's pulling up in an E90 saloon, it's cramped.
Oh no! Well, he had no issue with it, but it was I don't know why I had a thought. I remember thinking like, this is we were going to the beach, and I remember we were going on those like little wiggly lanes. And I remember thinking like, if you had a smaller car, you just wouldn't have to keep stopping and letting people through.
Right, it's too small. Right, it's just too small. It's too big. Sorry, you're saying it's just too big.
Yeah.
But you plus 3, that's so you've got 4 children.
Yep.
Right. Plus pair of adults. Let's just say 2 adults.
Yep.
You're not getting an E90. You're not getting.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No, this is my. I haven't got 4 kids.
Would you rather? The solution to that problem is a people carrier. Would you rather that?
We have one of those.
But then, but what I'm saying
is that better.
But then you agree.
That's too big too. He's just a big square now.
So what do you put multiple people in?
A bus,
limos.
But then Ben, you agree with Will's statement, which is it depends on the person.
Well, of course it depends. But I think I don't want a car that's. Well, I do. I have an X5.
Yeah, I was gonna say. But all you do is you drive back and forth between the unit with.
Yes, and it's because I live in the countryside, and I live like.
All right, flex.
Number. I live like. I live like 40 minutes.
All right. It takes. So I live in the countryside.
An edge is an edge.
Best film. It takes about 40 minutes to get to the motorway from where I live, and I have to go through a lot of lanes and stuff to get to the motorway. When I'm on the motorway, fine. X5, he loves it. He just wobbles along the motorway. Happy days. But that when I get off the motorway in the evening, it's late and I got to drive back. I go, it's like, oh, and then you've got to like think about not driving it through big old storm drains and like normal cars, you just drive.
Why not driving it through a storm drain?
Well, it's a bit crashy.
But here's
a small car would even be even worse.
But that's what I mean.
But I wouldn't. It would be thinner, so it would be easier to.
But the Clio,
truck it through there.
You drive the Clio to work.
Yeah,
you're loving it through those lanes.
It's great.
And then you get to the motorway and you go, Jesus Christ! Yeah. I wish I had something nicer.
Yeah.
But so
that's not a size thing. That's absolutely a size thing.
Such is life.
That is 100% a size thing.
Nah, it's on coilovers.
No, that's not the 8 series is on lowering springs, which is very crashy.
Yeah,
he's big. He's a big guy. He's fine.
Do you know what he is? He's too big. That's for what he is, for a coupe, he's too, I love that car, but he's too big.
But of course it is. But that's the whole point. It's excess.
Yeah.
It's built to be, hey, no one else has this.
Also, parking spaces.
I'm trying to get like this image in my head of this perfect car of yours. Is it a car that fits perfectly your belongings? But like to a T.
It's like, literally built for Ben. It's
molded around me.
It has little like cutouts.
You know what it is? It's Mr. Plow. Sorry, the Canyonero. No, what is it? The car from The Simpsons that Homer builds, and it's deliberately for him. It's the ridiculous car.
It's just that's what like Ben three, wants. It's like a 3 series. What's wrong with this? It's not a small car.
Okay. But why? Okay, here's a question. Why not the micro car? What's wrong with them?
Well, that's too small.
Okay, so one size up, the Beat.
Too small.
Why? Why does it need to? What needs to be bigger?
We can't put anything in there. It's not get bigger. It's gonna be smoother on the motorway.
Okay.
It's gonna probably have a bigger engine if it's bigger, so it's gonna be able to and probably a better gearbox. It will sit a bit nicer.
So a little Dacia Sandero.
Yeah, like a Ford Fiesta Sandero.
Not very refined. Not very refined.
Oh, so okay, ooh, but that's.
Sorry.
I thought it was about size.
Keep going.
Yeah. But it was about size.
Okay, it is. It's not refined.
Refined's not about size.
Focus is more.
Now, Focus is he's getting up there. I don't think you need much bigger than that. Golf size is good for normal daily ability. Golf size is decent.
Smaller though.
It is smaller, but it's fine. And then you get up to perfect size, then you get too big.
But okay. Why? Why is it perfect?
3 series a staple.
Everything was perfect.
10 years coming.
What 3 series? Coupe, saloon,
he's a saloon or a touring.
Touring's quite big.
But it's the same size as a saloon. It's just a bit taller.
It's a bit higher.
Okay.
At one bit, it's a bit higher.
Yeah,
the boot level, it's definitely higher. But you might struggle.
I'm not saying I struggle to drive the X5. It's just you have to think about it more. And that's annoying.
I do think that is where it comes from.
Yeah, it has to be.
Ben didn't say any of this. Ben was anchoring in the castle. And now he's like, I might just smash into something.
No.
I've crashed, Harry. Well, this might be an argument that we need to pick back up another time. This is quite nice. We'll have to assault Ben with some more facts and things next. But also, thank you, Ben, for being a good sport, as always.
Come back next week.
Thank you very much for listening to the Cars Rule Everything Around Me podcast. Leave your forum questions, leave your carspiracies, and leave your rules or ruins down in the comments. We will see you, hopefully, but probably next week. Bye.